Monday, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob with Shut Up and Grind. Today we have episode number 294. We'll be hitting 300 this month in the next 3 weeks, I believe. So if you're brand new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles. We're about defying the odds and helping you clear whatever is blocking your path to the success that you want to have in this lifetime. So I bring guests on from all over the world. I've had guests from 6 of the 7 continents. At some point, I'm going to find somebody in Antarctica because I want to be all 7 continents. It's going to happen. All right. So today's guest, we are going to be discussing how to unlock your best self with Mama D. So let's bring on Darla Noble.
Hello. It's so nice to be here. And I want to start out by saying I love the title of this podcast, Shut Up and Grind. I love that grind, because when you think of grinding, a lot of times you think of all the rough spots and all the rough stuff and getting it. But, you know, when you grind something, you're not just getting rid of the rough. You're polishing it and making it smooth and seamless. And I love that, because life is really about both. Getting, you know, smoothing out the rough spots, but then fine tuning it, too.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really where I want to go today with everybody. I, just to give you a little bit about me, I'm a wife, a mom, a nana. We have 4 kids and 9 grandkids, and we just love being a part of the people in our lives. We love being a part of the community we're in. We're a farm family. We're retired now from farm. I'm 5th generation farmer. And, you know, so I grew up with people who I had known my whole life, and we raised our kids around these same people. But when my husband, who was 30 years with our state law enforcement agency as well, when he retired, we moved about 150 miles away from home. I mean, like 5th generation home, okay? To an area that we had visited quite frequently that put us in a position to be better able to help take care of his parents as they aged, and put us close to some vacation property, our family hunting and hanging out camp and the lake that we, you know, frequent and that sort of thing. Okay. And we never, ever, ever in a million years dreamed. Now, we were empty nesters. We were just starting this whole empty nest. Our youngest had left home. We never in a million years dreamed that it would be hard to find and make new friends. We are very active in our church. We just basically assumed that when we began, you know, participating and being involved and worshiping in a new church, all of that would just kind of fall into place. It did not.
Okay.
We found that when you are our age, and granted, John retired very young at the age of 50 because of the whole, you know, retirement system with the law enforcement agency. Okay. But people our age, we found, already had all the friends they needed. They weren't rude, most of them anyway. They weren't unkind, but they kept us at arm's length. We want to be nice to you. We want to be kind to you, but we really don't need any more friends. Now, they didn't really say that, but we didn't have a history with any of these people, and it was very obvious. Now, there were some instances in when it all was but said. For 10 long years, I ached for a community of people. Just, you know, and I'm not talking, you know, masses of people, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted 2 or 3 good friends, and we wanted a church family that we could feel like we really belonged to. You know, we have our best friends, but they're back home or, you know, and stuff. And so you don't see them as often. But we wanted that here. It was a very painful situation.
And especially being from a small town, because I grew up in a small town too. Yeah. So, you know, where everybody's tight-knit. So that must have been a shock to the system.
There were so many shocks to our system. I can't, you know, going from rural to living in a town, you know, in a city. I don't know. I just cannot even begin to go there. It would take all day, okay? But our youngest daughter is married to their military. My son-in-law, he's in the Marine Corps. And so when I go to visit them, I usually stay for extended periods of time, like when he's on deployment and things of that nature, okay? So it was during one of those visits, a couple, almost 2 years ago, well, really right at 2 years ago, we were in church one Sunday, and it was the last Sunday I was going to be there. And, you know, and even there, going back and forth over the last, you know, for 2 or 3 years that they were at that particular location and being there for weeks at a time, I had friends. There are people there that I talk to, Facebook, text, whatever, on a weekly basis. I felt more at home there than I did in my own community.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was rough. And so I said to myself, and I was praying, I'm at the end of my rope. I really need something. And the pianist was playing all these songs, you know, to get ready for the service, just kind of, you know, get everybody's attention, that sort of thing. And she played this old song, and it's called Brighten the Corner Where You Are. I don't know if you've ever heard of that song.
I have not.
Okay, look it up, all right? Look it up and look at the lyrics. But just those words, brighten the corner where you are. I said, that's it. That is it. Instead of trying to fit in with other people and trying to become part of their circle, I realized at that point I had to shut up and grind, as you would say, and create my own community, create my own circle.
Love it.
Forget about trying to fit in with other people. Bring people to me. Find people, just one or two to begin with, and maybe that would be all, who we would fit together because of who we are, not who they were.
I love that. I had a conversation very similar to that just yesterday with someone where I said, be the apple in the sea of oranges. It's like, be the apple. Like, stop trying to be like everybody else. Like, stand out. All of us have unique gifts, unique talents, and we were designed to stand out.
Right.
Like, so you were trying to infiltrate something instead of creating something. So,
exactly. And you know, I don't see that as wrong. I mean, you know, I was a new kid on the block. I wasn't going to just try to come in and mow things. You know, and I had, my motives were okay. And I had what I thought was a right mindset. But whether it was the wrong mindset completely or whether it was a combination of how they perceived it or them just not wanting to open up, I think we have a huge problem in society that only got worsened because of the whole COVID thing. Mm-hmm. People don't like to open themselves up. They don't want to let people in. There's not a big need, they don't believe, for any type of transparency and accountability and nurturing one another, you know? And I'm not that way. I mean, you know, we knew everything about everybody's life. I mean, you know, we were just very close. And I'm not saying you have to know everything, but you know what I mean? I mean, you have this community, this family of people. And so anyway, being in a unique situation that I was in at that time as well, living wise, we had left the first place that we moved to when we moved to this area and built another house in the community we live in now, which is much smaller. It's on the outskirts of the bigger city. And everybody in this little community, this little neighborhood, we were all moving in just about the same time. And so I kept thinking, okay, we'd been here a few years, 3-4 years, and we, you know, we walked a lot in the neighborhood and hi, how are you? You know, all that kind of stuff. But I thought, you know, this is my corner. This is my corner. This is my little spot in the world. So I took a big deep breath and I put myself out there. I sent emails to 5 or 6 ladies that I had just, you know, a hi, how are you acquaintanceship with in walking, and said, hey, I'd like to invite you over to my house for dessert and iced tea on such and such a night at such and such a time. I just have some things I'd like to share with you about our neighborhood to see if you'd be willing to help me. And I thought, you know, I may fall on my face. It may be one, it may be none, it may be all of them. I had no idea. But of the 5 or 6 invitations, so to speak, that I sent, 4 said, count me in. One of them said, no, not my thing. And the other one said, I can't that night because we have a prior commitment every Thursday night, but I'd love to meet with you sometime afterwards so you can fill me in because I'm definitely interested. And from that, Robert, from that, we have created such a great friendship, this little tight-knit community, so to speak, of there's 5 of us. We have lost a couple because they moved away when a spouse died, and we've gained a couple who have moved in similar circumstances. But we promote goodwill in the neighborhood, in our HOA. We host gatherings. We do service projects for the community. We get together just to yak and talk and have coffee and go out to supper and go to plays and, you know, just we do things for one another. When we're sick, we take meals to each other. When we're gone on a trip, we water each other's plants and get each other's mail and, you know, and just that sort of thing. Just because, number one, I was desperate. And number two, that desperation led me to jump, okay, to jump. And I think that's what I want people to take away from our time together today is your grinding needs to be putting yourself out there because if you don't, nobody will.
See, I want to tie 2 things together that you said.
Okay.
Right, because earlier you had said, you know, this is after the bright in the corner where you are. Like, I take notes. So if you see me looking down, it's because I'm writing notes. Because I do my best not to interrupt people while they're talking, but just sometimes people will say something that just needs expanding. You know, but you said, you know, people have an unwillingness to open up to others, right? Mm-hmm. And tying that into what you just said, desperation led me to jump. Because those 2 things go hand in hand. People are afraid to put themselves out there until desperation hits. You know, like
sometimes, yeah.
Like even as a fitness coach, I always say content people are the worst people to work with. It's either the people who are highly motivated, mm-hmm. or the people who are just completely fed up with their current circumstance. Those are the 2 best groups to work with. The content people, those are the ones that are wishy-washy. You know, they'll show up a day or two that I won't see them for 3 weeks. They'll show up a day, won't see them for a month. Like, this, it's so annoying. But the people who are dialed in, they're here anywhere from 4 to 6 days per week. And then those people that are just fed up and they're like, I need to take control. Like, those people that they come in, they're hungry, they're desperate, they want to be led. And but unfortunately, you know, people have to sometimes hit that rock bottom in order to carve that path forward.
Right. We had, you know, and I think in our situation, we came into it when we first came to the area, very eager to become part of something again, but also realizing because, I mean, you know, we weren't 20, okay, and, you know, kind of just naive and thinking you could take on the world and you had all the, I mean, you remember that, okay, you know, so we came with the mindset that we wanted to be a part of things, but we didn't want to insert ourselves too heavily. We wanted to offer. We wanted to make sure that we were available and we would volunteer and not just sit on the sidelines and wait to be asked. But we didn't want to be too pushy, too like, here I am, you know, so, yeah. You know, I'm glad I'm here to save the day. I mean, you know, that kind of thing, you know, because you can all, I mean, I think everyone can relate to that to some extent where you've met someone who has been that way. And we did not want to be perceived as that. We just wanted to belong and use our abilities and our talents and our energy to belong. And like I said, it just was not, it just wasn't happening. And so when I say I was desperate, it wasn't that we had, well, let me say this. We hadn't given up, but boy, we were this close. We were this close because when you get knocked down so many times or refused and just, you know, cold shouldered, whatever you want to call it, that you're not doing the grinding. Somebody else is grinding against you and they're, you know, and it was rough. I'm not going to lie. It was rough. It was painful, especially for somebody who, like me, who is an extrovert in the fact that I love to serve others. I love to be a part of things. I love to help and nurture and that sort of thing. So it was really hard. But when those ladies were sitting around my table that evening and I said, okay, here's the deal. I said, we've all lived here, you know, 3 or 4 years. And I said, if I am going to continue to be here, I need to live here. I'm tired of just existing in this neighborhood and in this community. I said, I need a sense of community. I said, you may or may not want to be my friends. I said, but I want to be your friend. And I want to be, you know, and I made a conscious effort because I am a public speaker as well. I'm a motivational, inspirational speaker. And I, you know, I have no trouble making eye contact with people. And I did. And I was looking for that deer in the headlights look like, oh, crap, you know, but I didn't get that. And when I stopped speaking for a couple minutes, one of the ladies said, thank you. Thank you. She said, and her husband had passed away. And she said, I have been so hungry for a friend, just somebody to visit with in the neighborhood or to take a walk with or just to, you know, do something with some, you know, every once in a while. And she said, I need this. And two or three. And then, you know, everybody else chimed in. We do. We need this. We need, you know, and it was, I mean, it has bloomed and blossomed. And you know what? We have brightened corners. Our corners. And there's been a lot of good things. A lot of good things come from it.
See, and let's backtrack. And it all started just from you sending out some invitations.
Yes. It all started with just simply sending a few emails to, like I said, just a few of the people. And of those people that I sent them to, those ladies, there were only two of them that I had more than just a, hi, how are you? I had actually had conversations with only two of them. So it was a big step. It was a huge step, but I want to tell you, it was one worth taking. We are close and we are getting closer. And it wasn't, I mean, we come from different walks of life. We have different ages. We have some that have no children, some that have children, grandchildren. We even have, one of the ladies even has great grandchildren. You know, so we're all from different, you know, aspects. But yet it works because that common bond is the desire to be a friend, to have a friend, and to make a positive difference. You know, to use our gifts and our talents and our energies for good things, not just selfish, as in, you know, self-reflective, just looking back at me and just, you know, me, myself, and I, and even your family, but others. And see, to be that.
And most people want that, right? It's human nature. Most people want to be happy. They want to feel a part of something. They want a sense of community, right?
Yes.
But people are too afraid to make the step, to make something happen, to create something. Like, I got this job at the gym because I simply walked in and asked for it. That it was there, that simple. I walked in and asked for it. I got a coaching job because I texted the coach and said, hey, are there any openings available? Okay. You know, it's like, like when I tell people, whatever it is you want to accomplish, just start it. Just start the process. Because like right now, you're thinking of all the challenges. If you just start the process, doors will open. Like I was working with a woman who wanted to she wanted to become a speaker. So I met with her because I do speaking also. And so I met with her. We met at a local Panera. It was like, you know, just went down the list, you know, like what is your main message? Who needs to hear your message? And just went right down the whole list. I said, now find the podcast and find podcasts and pitch till you get on one. I said, she's like, really? Already? I'm like, yes, already. I said, your story is already in your subconscious mind.
Right.
It's already there. And like, it's not something that you have to create. I said, just get on this first podcast and just tell your story. I said, don't worry if you say don't worry if you stutter. It's just the first one. You know, it's like my first podcast episode is not as polished as I have them now, you know. So, you know, 294 episodes later, I said, so don't worry about how that first one goes. I said, you just have to break the ice. Like once that ice is broken, you're going to see opportunities everywhere.
Right. And, you know, I always tell myself and tell other people, what is the worst thing that can happen when you do that? No. If you get a no or a no thank you. And how bad is that really?
Next. That's all I say.
Yeah, exactly. What does it really matter if they say no? You know, and you can always go back to people like Dr. Seuss, whose first book was rejected numerous times. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think he overcame that. I mean, I think that's a very safe thing to say.
Yep.
You know, Walt Disney, his first job as a newspaper reporter, he was fired and said, you know, you do not have any creative talent. Mm-hmm. Okay, he showed them. You know, so just because one person or two people or even 10 people tell you no doesn't mean they're right.
It only takes one yes.
That's correct.
That's it. That's but correct. You might have to go through 100 no's to get the yes. But once you get the yes, it's well worth it. Like I always tell people, keep your eye on the prize. It doesn't matter. If 5 people in a row reject your idea, you know, move on. Push them off to the side and keep going. Keep going until someone says, yes, this is a win. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes.
That's exactly right. That is so true. And that's that whole grinding process, Robert. You know, you work away to get to what's good. You get rid of the bad. You grind away the bad or the indifferent or the, you know, the bark, you know, however you want to cut, you know, talk about it. I mean, a walnut, okay? It's all gross and gushy and mushy and stainy. And then once you get all rid of that, it's all rough and gnarly, but you got to get rid of that. And then it's smooth, but yet you got to get rid of the smooth to get to the actual nut. I mean, so it's a process, but, and that's who we are.
I like that breakdown. See, what people have to understand too is that everybody struggles, right? So if you get through a little bit of struggle and then we let that struggle break us down, like you have no idea how many times when I'm teaching a class early in the morning, like the sun isn't even up yet, and people are like, I'm having such a bad day. like such a bad day. Like you just woke up an hour ago. Like how are you letting the entire day go away from you already? Okay, so maybe your first hour was tough. Let's make the rest of it as great as possible.
Exactly.
You know, like people adopt that mindset, because like I coach track as well. And I'm trying to teach these young kids about confidence and resilience and all that stuff. I said, look yourself in the mirror 5 times a day and say, nothing can break me. And keep saying it until you believe it. That's how you're going to build up the resilience to deal with the struggles of life. Right. Like, you know, people who watch this show on the regular, you know, they know. So I'm not going to get into the entire story. But last year, I went through hell. Like 2023 was a rough year. And I did take my eye off the prize for a millisecond. A millisecond, I let it consume me. But it was just that. I was brushing my teeth. I locked eyes with myself in the mirror. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're better than this. It's like, you can't let this situation beat you. I'm like, you have a whole podcast talking about shut up and grind. And here I am sulking in my bedroom. And I was like, I was like, this is not happening. And then once I got my eye back on everything, just fell into place beautifully. Going back to illustrate what I said earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example. And you know, I read a thing one time that said, and I hope I get this right. Quitting is not necessarily a sign of weakness. It's just letting go of one thing to grab hold of the right thing.
I like it.
Yeah. Or letting go of the wrong thing to grab hold of the right thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like that. Sorry, I kind of messed that up. But I like that. Because not everything that we attempt or not everything that we start out to do is going to end up being good or right. And we may not see everything through to completion, but that doesn't mean we failed. It means that we've realized we're butting our heads up against the wall, and so we move on.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, and to put it bluntly, because that's my personality, sometimes quitting is necessary. You know, like I had a talk with this woman. She's been with me for a long time, been complaining about her job the entire time. And then finally, I'm like, listen, like, I'm tired of hearing this. I'm like, this is up to you. Imagine if you walked away 6 years ago. Where would you be now? Right? If you walked away 6 years ago, yeah, maybe you'll lose your insurance or you'll lose your whatever benefit. But you're going towards something that's going to be better. Like, I spent 2 decades in the restaurant industry. And it's like, and I wish I did fitness and speaking sooner. Because you know, obviously I learned the things that I learned about leadership and how to run a business and all that from managing the restaurant. But I wish I left 10 years sooner, you know, because I love doing this. Like, I love meeting people from all over the world, hearing their stories. I love helping people get into shape and find their confidence, improve their self-esteem. Like, I can do this stuff all day long in the restaurants.
Right.
In the restaurants. Last thing. I would like pull into the parking spot and just stare at the building and be like, I don't want to go in there.
Oh, wow.
You know?
But I will tell you this. Don't discount all of that time you spent there, because there are undoubtedly lessons you learned or people that you talked with or things that you did or saw in that time that made the change possible. When I look back over these past two, when I look back over the 10 years that were, and the 2 years since then that have been really good for that aspect of life, as far as friendships and a church family and that sort of thing. Had we not been through all of that, had we not been in each place, physically even, had we not been in each situation, in each place at that specific time for that amount of time, we would never have been we would never have been open to some of the things that have happened since then. We would never have been available to take those opportunities. We would never have been in a position to say, let's just scrap that. Let's just quit this and move on because this is good. And some of those opportunities were not even in existence until 2 years ago. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, don't discount, take what you've lived and use it to, don't let it define you, but use it to define yourself. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, like for myself, I was just more saying the happiness of doing, yes, of doing what I'm doing versus going to the restaurant and just being stressed every single day and then bringing that stress home and taking it out on everyone else, you know, because
Believe it or not,
that's how I got back into fitness, because I converted my garage into a gym, and it was more so for me. I wanted to get back to my athletic roots. And so that way I would come home, I'd say hi to everyone, then I would go in the garage for an hour and just, you know, pound away all the stress physically. Great. And then I'd go back inside with a much clearer head and not yelling at everyone. You know?
And a healthier body too. So
yes, absolutely. So I mean, so just the point is, like, so many people hang on to things too long. It's like, you know, it's like you can do it, and it's because of that four-letter F word, fear.
I know. We got to get past that. Yeah, we do. We have to get past the fear. We have to get past the assumption. You know, we just assume what people are going to say or do or how they're going to react or respond, instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt and giving them the respect to do, you know, to do what they want to do and to let them speak for themselves. You know, we got to quit making those assumptions.
And to believe in themselves. And let me use a fitness analogy that just happened earlier this morning.
Okay.
So I'm teaching class. There's a woman here, older woman, you know, and I had weight on the sled. And before she even got to the sled, she's like, you got to take some of that weight off. And I said, how do you know? And she's like, oh, because I know. She's like, I can't move that. I said, you didn't even try yet. I said, if you try and you can't move it, I will gladly take some weights off. I was like, but I need you to try it first. So she's like, okay. She's like, this isn't going to go very well. And one of my lines is always, not with that attitude. So she goes over to the sled. She starts pulling it. You know, she pulls it all the way down. Then she looks at me and she's like, all right, it's not that bad. I was like, see, but you painted a whole scenario where you were going to pull it. You're going to rip your shoulder out of the socket or slip a disc or something. It's like, I call that creating false problems. It's like,
yes,
you know, now just flip it, reframe that and do it the other way. You walk over to that sled and be like, I'm about to rock this. You know, it's a completely different energy shift when you step into that confidence. Cause I attack nearly everything with a positive outcome in mind, no matter what it is I try. Somebody asked me to try something foolish on the gymnastic rings earlier. And she's like, can you do that? I'm like, let's find out. And I just jumped up and I was able to do it. You know, there was no hesitation. No, will I fall? What if this goes wrong? What if I look stupid? I didn't worry about embarrassing myself. I'm like, let's see if I can do it. And comes out, I could. You know, it's like positive reinforcement is that easy.
No, that's great. And I bet that lady from now till this time next week, she's going to be saying, you know what I did at the gym? I mean, you know, she, I mean, exactly. That was a real confidence boost to her too. Mm-hmm. So rather than just acquiescing to her and saying, okay, if you really don't think you can do it, I'll move some, but I bet you could, you know, but still giving in to her, you know, she would never have known that. She would have stayed within what she thought her limits were instead of finding out what they were.
See, and that's the whole premise of this show, is to just inspire people. Because a lot of people have something that they want to do, but they're just afraid to try it. They're afraid to try. And like, I was on an Instagram Live a while ago, and I'm usually not on Instagram that much. I'm more of a Facebook guy. And so I just happened to stumble upon someone else's live stream. And the woman was local here in Rhode Island. And come to find out, she had a stroke and a heart attack at the age of 34. Wow. Right? And she survived them both, obviously. But like, as I was listening to her tell her story, I was like, she can get a lot more out of that story. Like, she definitely can. So I just sent her a private message. She didn't know me from a hole in the wall. Right? I did a couple sessions with her, just helping her get more out of her story. Right. And she's now in this area anyways. She's the face of the American Heart Association.
In this region, wonderful.
Just from helping her tell that story better. Right. And then, you know, someone from the AHA stumbled upon her story, and there you go. Is. Like, going back to when you start the process, then you're going to see the opportunity. The opportunities are everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. But most people, they're so consumed with their own stress and their own challenges and problems that they're walking right past the opportunities.
Right. Right. No, that's so true. And you are going to come across people that no matter how many opportunities you present to them, no matter how hard you try to include them or to inspire them, they're not going to be inspired, you know, because they will not allow themselves to be. And so, you know, you don't quit trying. You may be looking another, you know, maybe about it. You definitely turn and go in another direction because, you know, just like that old saying, you can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves.
Yes.
You can't inspire. You can't encourage. You can't be a friend to someone who doesn't want that, you know, and there are people like that. But like you said, there are oodles and oodles of more people who do want it.
Yes.
And so, you know, just don't be afraid to put yourself out there and to find that niche for yourself to where you can be your best self and in turn help others be their best self too.
See, I want to add on to that too. Going back to like, there are people who you just can't help, right?
Right.
I know that my style is not for everyone.
Right.
You know, like some people need, you know, a more gentle approach, a slower approach where I'm like, rip off the Band-Aid, jump into the fire. Like, that's my approach. But I also know that doesn't work for everyone. And I'm okay with that. So this goes back, going back to what we said earlier about going through the no's to get to the yes. Like, there are people who walk into this gym and get amazing transformations. There's other people who walk into this gym and then I never see them again.
Right.
You know, you got to take rejection in stride.
Yes, yes. That's not easy. It's not easy as an author and, you know, as somebody who's been through that, I know things like that are not easy, but I also know those things are not the whole of it.
Yes.
There is, like you said, there's a yes. There are lots of yeses in and amongst the no's, and you just have to keep going until you find them.
I was in a mastermind group, right? And so this was on Zoom. They broke us off into breakout rooms. And so I think there were like 10 of us or so in this group.
Okay.
Right. So it was about speaking and, you know, creating like a small pitch. And so now I do this for a living. So I rock mine. Right. So as I'm listening to other people, right? So this one woman in particular, so she gives hers, there were like 9 people gave her positive feedback.
Okay.
One person gave her some negative feedback, and she spent all of her energy on that one person. Now, granted, you do want the negative feedback, you know, you do learn and grow from it, but I'm like, you're not talking to any of the 9 people who loved what you had to say. You know, well, what did you like about it? What stood out to you? It's like, work on perfecting the craft. It's like, note what the one negative person said, absolutely, but lean into the people who loved what you said.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's that human nature. It's like, we're drawn to negativity. You know, it's like, I don't know if it's self-preservation.
We tend to fixate on it. We want the positive energy and we want the positive feedback and we want the kudos and we want the friendships, but we fixate on the negative or the rejection because it just snags us and it cuts us, you know, and we, for whatever reason, most people can't get past that, even though, like you said, there's more of the positive than the negative. It's just like, I don't know.
It's in our DNA. If you go back to like early times, mm-hmm. like you were constantly on the lookout for danger, right? That's wired in our DNA. It's like people are constantly looking for like what could go wrong, what could happen to me, you know, things of that nature.
Right. Well, and you know, especially with young girls, you know, you can just be, they could just have all sorts of personality and energy and talent and everything. It just takes one person to say something negative about the way they look or whatever to spiral them into an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Okay. One comment from the right person, can just destroy them, even though they have a whole plethora of people on their side, rooting for them and loving them and caring for them and nurturing them and supporting them and encouraging them and everything else positive. You know, that one thing can cause sometimes irreparable damage. And so, you know, we just have to be so mindful of guarding ourselves and our children and our grandchildren and friends, you know, to overcome that. So.
Yeah, absolutely too. I mean, like with my track team and with my own kids, like I try to tell them from a young age, you got to know who you are. It's like mm-hmm. when you fully know who you are, there's nothing anyone can say to you that's gonna hurt you. Nothing.
Right.
Like when I had my drama last year, you know, with a former business partner, and then I just ended up just walking away. I walked away from the entire thing. But the big thing, he told me, he's like, you're a deadbeat. He's like, you're a loser. Like you're just belong in a gutter. All this other stuff. And I just sat there with my hands in my pockets. I'm like, he's trying to get a rise out of me, and I'm not gonna give it to him. It's like, I know who I am. I know once I walk away, it's going to take me a couple months, but I'm going to regroup and I'm going to build a whole other gym. You know, knowing who you are is at the core of it. But wow, time flies. Let's shift into that. That means we're having a good conversation.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's, hold on, we got a comment from my cousin. Hi, cuz. Still to me, yeah, very early. Like the earlier, the better, because as they get older, it's harder to work with broken adults.
Yes, than it is
to work with the kids.
Right. So it is.
Talk about your business, your books, and what it is you have going on.
Okay. Well, like I said, I write inspirational. I do some historical nonfiction as well, but inspirational, Christian-based nonfiction, feel-good books for moms and grandmas. I do character ed for kids and families, devotionals. I have a couple of fill-in journals for teens and tweens that, you know, just help them know who they are, to get to know themselves better, that are lots of fun. All of my books are available on Amazon if you put in Darla Noble, or you can go to my website, which is D Noble Writes, the word writes, writes.com. And all of my books are there. You can link to them, find out a little bit more about me. I do inspirational, motivational speaking, not just in the Christian market, but parenting and family. I do family connections. One of my books called Please Pass the Memories is full of ideas and instructions and stories about how to connect the past, present, and future generations of your family so that everybody has that sense of who they are, who and where they come from. And I do classes on that. I call them keepsake in the making classes. I do a Nana subscription class, which just allows grandmas, nanas, grannies, mimis, whatever you're called, to connect with your grandkids no matter how old they are and no matter how far or near you live to one another. It's a fun little thing that you do each month with your grandkids. And so, yeah, that's me. So check it out. My website again, dnoblerights.com. And it's been such a great time just spending time with you and talking about grinding toward our best self.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely got to have you back on again because we're not done talking yet.
I know. I'd love it. You just shoot me an email and let me know when you'd like to continue this conversation and we'll make it happen.
Awesome. Yeah. So I found you on Podbooker, right?
I think so. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember. Yeah, I'm pretty but you, sure it was, I, on Podbooker. It was either that or the, I'm not sure. I can't remember, right. But you've got my email too. And I check those sites. So, just reach out to me and we'll get it done.
No problem. Yeah. I knew when I looked at your profile, I was like, we're going to have a good talk. Typically I just go, I find everyone in the self-improvement space and I invite them all because everybody has a story. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in,
right?
You know, what you've been through, somebody's been through something at some point.
Exactly. Yes. If you haven't, I want to talk to you.
Yeah, because I think you were one of the first ones I invited, you know, which is why you're one of the first ones to air.
I think you're the second one.
Yeah, absolutely. But I said I came across it. I was like, yep. I said we gotta have a chat. So I'll have you back on. I actually have a panel coming up soon too, where I usually bring back six of my former guests. Okay. We pick a topic. And we just go like round table. And do I have an example? No, I deleted it. But yeah, and we usually spend about an hour and 15 minutes. That way everybody gets ample time to share their stories. But we talk about the hardship, the breakthrough, and then how you got through it. So like we break it up into those three sections. So it's a lot of fun. A lot of collaborations come out of these panels too. Like people have gone on to co-write books, people have started podcasts and think of that nature. So yeah, it's really, really good. And I have some connections for you too. So don't sign off just yet.
All right. I won't.
Thank you very much for coming
and
sharing.
Thank you. Thanks.
I'll see you in a minute.
All right.
All right. All right. Well, that was Darla. We had another great conversation here. You know, every guest that comes on here rocks the house in their own way. Like I really, in 294 episodes, there was really only one that was a little kind of had to carry the conversation, but I definitely did not have to carry Darla. So if you are joining us late, make sure you go back and watch the whole thing, especially if you're going through something. That's the whole purpose of this show. If you're going through something, every episode we walk through our own stories and our own journeys to help you get through whatever mess you're dealing with. So if it works for you, you can head over to any place where you get your podcast. We're on all of them. You know, you can go back and watch the lives here on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, right? So we're live everywhere. So the information is out there. Again, we're here for you. You're not alone, right? Just dial in and I'll be back live on Friday.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and grind.